You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Stopping at the byway, looking for the old men of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 103rd show, crime is our headline. We can always find a crime in our life. Crimes can be from going through a red light to killing. For small things, we can make light of them. For large crimes, we shiver at the thought. You gather your thoughts and tell me what crime you'll detail in your old man story.
Good afternoon, everyone. From Fremont, California, it's Old Men Stories. And today we take a look at crime and how it affects us. And I don't have to ask Roland is he there, because Roland is right here.
That's right. We're both here in Fremont. And we're having fun. We just got through with Toastmasters. And one thing that I love that I found with Toastmasters is all the people that are on awesome. And I would predict that you got almost 100% honest ratio. It's nice. It's nice working with honest and fun people. And it's nerve-wracking. You have a little chill part of your body where you live in an area where there's frequent crime. Jeff?
I can say that as I am searching to buy a house, one of the things that I always look for is, what is the neighborhood like? I drive around the neighborhood, and I don't like the way the neighborhood looks. I don't buy there, or I don't even think about buying there, because I'd like to be able to sleep at night, and I'd like to be able to drive to work without worrying about whether someone's going to break into my house. And that's the one sad thing about society these days, is that you have to lock your doors when you leave. And everyone usually has somebody they know that suffered from some form of crime, usually having their house robbed or their car robbed or something. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do you deal with that, and what kind of stories we have from our past that something's gone wrong by the agency of somebody else.
And this is a little stoppage for what I like most of my stories to be, because I absolutely love fun stories. And loving stories and caring stories. And that is super important for everything in Old Men Stories. But there is a small part where the trauma makes great stories if there's crime. And after it's all over, If you tell a story about it, sometimes it makes it less. Agreed, Jeff?
No, definitely. I mean, it's a horror story in a way. And life isn't always about everything going right and everything going your way. It's an adventure. Crime is something that we have to survive, and not just survive, but also learn how to move on from it. So I am going to start with a story that happened to one of my coworkers. And you would think that one of the best things to have in this day and age is your own car. You essentially can come and go as you please, and it's a matter of personal pride to finally buy that new car with that new car smell and the ability to say, look, I got a new car. However, some of us are driving around in secondhand cars that we got in a used car lot, or as a gift from somebody else, or just the matter of, hey, I got a new car, you can borrow my old car. So you don't think that driving a not new car will make you a target. But someone I know had their, shall we say, somewhat less new car stolen. And the first reaction they had was, why would somebody steal my car? It's 15 years old. It's a piece of junk. And the running joke of folks who have cars of that vintage, myself included, is no one would ever want to steal our car because it's not flashy, it's not expensive looking, it's just old and threatens to fall apart. But no, somebody swiped a friend of mine's car, a friend of mine's car, and took off with it. The police recovered it about 3 days later in a slightly worse state at the end of a dead-end street about 2 hours south. Somebody had just stolen her car, driven it off. They stole the radio. They didn't take anything out of the car. They just stole the radio. And she said, that was just an AM/FM radio anyway. It didn't really matter. But she said, I do have to admit that there's just this unsettled feeling about not wanting to drive this car now that somebody else that I didn't approve of or give the keys has driven my car. And unfortunately, the insurance doesn't cover car replacement and theft. If you total the car, you'll get your money back. Some of it anyway. If someone steals your car, you can get it back. That's a different story altogether. Because, you know, you got the car back. Hey, great. Now, in addition to that, when I was very young, my parents' van got broken into as well. Because there was a toolbox in the back that my dad used to use to store a bunch of tools that he took on the road with him. So we do automotive repairs at my aunt and uncle's house because they had a driveway. And you could do things like change the oil there instead of having somebody else do it and change the tires and things like that. So we always had this gray box in the back that had various and sundry tools. And somebody decided that they wanted what was in the box, even though they didn't know what was in there. They broke into the car and took what they wanted out of it. They didn't steal the radio, though. Guess the AM/FM radio wasn't worth their trouble. And I remember being a kid at the time, being the least happy about the fact that they broke the Travel Scrabble set. I think I was 7. But that was the big thing that I major had to get on the police report. And over the years, you kind of look back and you say, okay, well, these things happen. You just figure out how to move on from it. But for the most part, you cannot get around the fact that everything that we have and everything that we own, unless it's attached to you, something can happen to it. And you can either live in fear of something happening to you every second, every day, or just accept that it happened and move on. Things can be replaced. People can't. Roland.
I agree. And I'm a few years older, about a third?
Maybe
at least a third. And in my life, I've had many occasions of being robbed. And getting robbed most of the time is sort of like women being pregnant. They forgot the pain. and all of a sudden you start becoming complacent again. But thievery and that type, I lived in a neighborhood where in our close neighborhood, very few people locked their house. This is in the city, South Minneapolis. And I told you a story about when we went out on a vacation, we had no way of locking the doors. So my ma would take the butcher knife and stick it in the panel that go, what do they call that, the little board that goes in the side of the door. She'd stick it in the side of the door. She'd stick the butcher knife in there. So that would be our lock against anyone breaking into our place. And so it was another time in the city. But at the same time, I had friends or acquaintances, and I call them friends then because we went and played together. And we didn't go play all the time together, but we would meet and talk, and we would meet at parties and stuff like that. And I remember my friend Bill and I were going down by Seven Corners in Minneapolis. And we were a little older. We were bar hopping, and we saw a bunch of our old friends. They came walking, and all of a sudden they turned, we didn't know who they were. They turned and they came right towards us, and they came up to me and said, "Hi, Roland, how are you?" And they gave me a big hug. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, we're celebrating getting out of jail." And we walked with them a while, and then they talked about, yeah, they were out of jail, but they probably would be back in again. And it was a way of life for them to go in and out of jail. And man, that was really upsetting for me to find out that people would have a lifestyle that involved going in and out of jail. That would be just part of their existence. And one of them was talking about these older fellas that would get let out, and they had been in jail so many years in their life that they would go out and rob a store because they didn't know how to live outside the jail, so that they would go back in. And I didn't understand that. I mean, I still don't understand that. But later on in life, I saw people that were going that direction. And in thievery, I found they always seem to take that one cool thing you really like, or one of them. I was in the Navy, and someone gave me a big bayonet, and it was a classic bayonet. It was really beautiful, but the steel was very soft. And I went to Memphis for a training class in metallurgy, and they brought you in, and they had these fires going, and these people were putting stuff in the fire. They'd take it, and they'd put it in oil or water, and I learned all about how to harden steel. Well, I took this knife and I brought it in. And I said, "I want to harden this steel." Well, the guy fell in love with the knife too, and so he and I worked that together because I put it in, these hot coals, and I stick it in the water, and I'd take it out and I'd pound it, and it was really awesome. And then I polished it, and it was just beautiful. And I brought it back, and I put it in my locker at the squadron. And 2 days later, it was gone. And I was so hurt because I had spent all that time doing, making that knife and making it look so beautiful. And it's one of those little things you remember, that you'd spend all that time doing it. I would have given it away later, probably. But right then, it really hurt me. So that's one story, Jeff. I got some others. You got another one?
I do, in fact, have another story that happened to some different friends of mine. And they had a group household where they would have people from our cultural circle come and go. And so every weekend there'd be like lots of people coming and going to the place, and they had barbecues every weekend or almost every weekend, rain or shine. And just the artists and writers and gamers hanging out at this place all the time. And because people who lived there were all computer professionals. They had a lot of money to buy a lot of high-end computing equipment. And the neighbors got used to seeing various people showing up on the weekends. So they didn't think of anything of people coming in on a Tuesday with a big van. And they essentially walked into the front door and took pretty much every single computer and every single gaming system and the stereo system out of there. And they only didn't take the big screen TV because it was too big to move. It was a pretty darn big TV set. But they lost everything, and the neighbors didn't think to call it in because they got used to people going in and out all the time. And apparently, according to the police investigation, that this was a local group of thieves who had been watching the house for some time, and they recorded when people came and went, so they knew when the house would be empty. So that is definitely an argument against living by yourself. If you know somebody is going to be home at any given time, then the odds of you getting robbed go way down, because the folks like this who kind of scans this neighborhood, they see you open the garage door, you go out, and there's no car in the garage. They think, oh, hey, you're not going to be home for 8 hours. We can take our time. But on the other hand, if there's a second car in the garage, or, you know, there's someone who walks out and waters the garden or what have you, then they're not going to go in, because the mentality of thieves of that sort is they don't want a witness. They just want to get in, get out, and be gone. And when I say that our house was never broken into when I was a kid, that was because we had one of the better setups for entry. There was only one door into the house. There wasn't a fire escape. Fire escapes are a big thing in New York, especially in the boroughs of Queens and Brooklyn. But there wasn't a fire escape. And the door that we had had one outer door that had a lock, and one inner door that had a bigger lock with a deadbolt and a security gate over the inside of the glass. And the doors on the upstairs also had giant-sized locks. And the door to the basement, if you somehow managed to get over the 15-foot wall into the back courtyard, there was a barricade bar over the basement door. My dad was a locksmith. You could tell. So I would say that that was one of the reasons that we never got broken into, because we always had a solid lock on the door. And there were a few times the outer vestibule got broken into because it was just glass. And then, so they never got into the house proper, because they'd get through the outer door, not through the inner door. It was kind of like having an airlock of sorts. We always felt pretty safe about that. And you couldn't forget to lock the doors, because the door had a deadbolt lock that you had to lock to close it. And one of those automatically tripping ones where if you went outside and didn't grab the door in time, you got locked out. And you had to wait for someone else to come home and come get you.
That's funny.
Dad worked as a locksmith for a number of years. And it was one of those skills where anytime somebody got a new place, he'd always look at the locks on the place. And if he didn't think the lock in your place was good enough, he came by and he installed a better one for you.
He knew how to do great deadbolts, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember coming back to our cabin. It was summer before last. And we went out to the shed. And on the door, there were these huge gashes where someone had tried to push a crowbar in there to break open the shed. They didn't get in. We did have a really good lock. But it was funny, because there was actually not much in there that would have bothered us really at all, except the damage that it caused. At my offices on Washington Boulevard in Fremont, we had a break-in. They broke the front window, and they went in and robbed us. Well, I thought I would really be secure, so I put these big gates you pull closed and put a lock on. So I put those on all four front window door systems. So every time when we left, we would lock the whole place up. It would be totally locked. Well, about a year later, they had the regular group come through for stealing, and they broke all the locks, ripped it open, broke the window, and got in again. This time, so we did it again. 2 years later, they came, and they were, you know, they were really going to get in, so they backed a truck through the door. Now, this is pretty bad. So the latest thing is what we did is we had security cameras, everything, but they didn't work. You know, they somehow security doesn't work when there's a crime. It's one of those, what principles? What are those principles?
Chaos.
Murphy's Law. Yeah, it's a Murphy's Law principle. And now we have the gates inside locked with the other thing, and then we have, so I think we haven't had any robberies now in about 5 years. But the last time, there was nothing there. They stole about $220 worth of stuff, and it cost me $10,000 to fix the window. If they'd asked, I would have given them $200 and had them disappear. So, world is strange. It's just absolutely strange. What time is it here, Jeff? I'll let you finish this one off. I got another story that this is a toughie to handle. It was in Union City when Terry and I first moved there. You want me to go on with it?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
You got 5 minutes.
I have 5 minutes? Okay.
Well, 3.
Oh, well, Terry and I lived over in Union City. We had a townhouse. It was in a new complex. We thought, oh, there were people. It takes quite a bit of money to get into these townhouses. So we must have pretty nice neighbors. Well, all of a sudden I started hearing people getting robbed in the area. And then I said, what the heck's going on? These people have pretty good money. This shouldn't happen. And then I found out they have this thing called welfare. And what welfare does is it takes these people and this element of crime, and they pay to put them next to you. So they have these criminals, and they pay for them to live in the same place you're at. Well, it was sort of scary for me, but we'll survive here. But then I would hear these whistles when I would walk into the complex. There would be whistles from one, and you could see one kid up in this up in this window, and you see another kid over there, another window. And I got what they were doing. They had a criminal kids sort of mafia going on. And I didn't think it would, you know, I would really be hit that much, but one day, and we had big security and everything, we came home and they had, in the middle of the day, they had broken the whole front window in, okay? Come in, robbed us, just totally robbed us, and walked out the front window during the day in a townhouse complex with all these houses around. Well, I knew who it was. I mean, I knew the kid that did it because he flaunted it. I mean, he would come and he would, with his buddies, and he would flaunt it. And we called the police and we told them who it was, and the police couldn't do anything. Well, I was, first of all, to be robbed and to know that they can rob you whenever they want and the police won't do anything. I mean, they could have came the next day, police wouldn't have done anything. Terrifying. Terrifying. I mean, you feel no security at all in your life. I put these big wrought iron gates in the whole house, front door and back door, and the side. So I was totally covered in wrought iron, and then they robbed my car because I had protected myself. Well, I didn't know how to fight it. I didn't know what to do because the police wouldn't do anything. They absolutely would do nothing. And I pointed out who did it. They wouldn't even go get a search warrant to look at them. So I got so frustrated one evening when they had thrown eggs on my car. I went over. Terry said she wouldn't let me go alone.
walked over there, pounded on their door with a bat, and I had a pistol on my waist, and yelled at him and threatened him to come out, face me. Well, that ended it, because most of them are super cowards. But I was so frightened and so angry, I had it. And then I did the next best thing. I went and found out the people that were renting the place, who they were renting from, although these people got paid. And I called them and I says, they are robbing the neighborhood. And these people, and I called welfare and told them, these people are robbing people, and they got them moved. But it was absolutely frightening. You felt like you lost control of everything. It's one of the most frightening experiences in life to have that little control. So that's my crime story, 101.
We will be back in a few minutes with more Old Man Stories. See you in a little bit.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Man Stories, the report on crime. And before we get into our guest speaker for today, I'd like to take a quick moment to mention one of my personal recommendations for websites. The website is crimereports.org, all one word, crimereports.org. And what that does is that you type in the name of a city, and it will show you in a whole bunch of cities, not all of them, but a number of them anyway, of the crime reports that have been filed by the local police for any set period of time. And what you can do is type in an address, and it will show you exactly how safe your neighborhood it actually is. Because if the police are doing the job right, you should rarely ever see them, but they should be able to keep you safe at the same time. I mean, we have patrol cars that occasionally come up in our area where I live, but no matter how safe your neighborhood seems to be, there's always a possibility of something going wrong, because criminals tend to look for places that the police aren't and go there. And we actually had our mailboxes broken into fairly recently. But I will tell you about that maybe after the story ends. So, Roland, who's our storyteller for today?
Our storyteller is John Moore. And, John, I tried to, you know, I met him on Highway 66. Heard of 66. And 66 is goes right along Highway 40, and then I think 10. But it goes into LA, and 66 is they had a whole TV series of it years ago. It was completed in 1939. So John owns the RV park in Gallup, USA RV, that he supports the veterans, and he actually lets people that are on active duty stay there free. Take it away.
Okay, we're at USA RV Park in Gallup, New Mexico. And John Moore is the owner, and we're right here on Old 66. I drove Old 66 when it was New 60s. Well, it was pretty close.
It was pretty close to being New 60s.
Yeah. And you have a big family, don't you?
I have six kids.
Six kids. How many kids have they got?
I have one son that has two daughter and a son, so I have two grandkids.
So you're just starting?
Yes.
You're just starting with your grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, they live in California. Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've lived here in Gallup for forever.
I've lived in the Gallup area for 35 years now. I taught on a reservation for a place called Tehachapi for 26 years.
And what did you teach?
I was a high school business teacher and I coached cross country track. And then I also taught at the community college here, business and community college, for 9 years part time while I was still teaching.
Okay, so you're a teacher, huh?
Yeah.
High school?
I was. I retired 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, once a teacher, always a teacher.
I am, maybe.
Yeah, you see a kid, you want to teach him.
Yeah, that's true. This is a habit.
It's a habit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I noticed how well you handled the end of the end. Fell in there, that was, you give away a toy to all the kids coming in.
Well, not all the kids. If they're veterans, I mean, if they're active duty, active duty, stay here free. Well, we've been doing that for 13 years now.
Oh.
And if they have children, we give the children toys to the active duty military.
Well, that's really great.
Yeah, and the kids enjoy it. And you know what? It gives them something to do as they're traveling down the road. It keeps them busy.
Oh, yes.
And it makes it easier on the parents.
It sure does. It sure does. And maintenance around here. How hard is it to keep up with you?
It's very difficult, but we have a great maintenance man. Robert Chilta, he's been here for 30 years. He was here when KOA owned it, when Gene Dalby purchased it from KOA, and then, of course, the 6 years that I've had.
Right.
So he's been here for 30 years, and he's done a tremendous job. So we have it streamlined where one maintenance man can pretty much take care of everything.
That's great.
Yeah, but he has to work very hard to do that. And he's very hard worker.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm going to have him help him put his foot aside.
He'll do it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that'd be great. We're having a little side problem with our RV. Yourself. I notice you're out there doing cocaine, so you do everything here too.
I do as much as I can. Yeah, I do propane. Sometimes I clean up. You got to do the financial and everything. So I enjoy it. But mostly, my sons are kind of taking over most of things, so I'm just kind of just dealing with people.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy doing the most.
That is the most fun.
Yeah.
I see there's a bunch of statues in back. Where did you get those at?
These are carved by a friend of mine in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's Mark Chavez.
Mark Chavez.
And he's done the bears that are on the waterfall, and he's done the little puppies that are on the dock too. What we're doing here, we're building a veterans park. It's going to take us 2 more years to finish it. We've been working 6 years on it. That grassy area out right there, the cover for the eating area, the swimming pool right with the American flag on the bottom, all that's part of it. We spent 6 years working on it. But you know, you got to have the time, and then when you have the time, you got to have the money. So I think it's going to be 2 more years.
Yeah.
It's going to be two
yeah
more years.
Well, I don't wear my Vietnam yet, but I wear headphones. I figured I'd gal in my school cowboy hat.
Sure.
And I'm a cowboy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I'm never a cowboy.
Oh, you were here forever. You just don't wear a cowboy hat.
No.
Yeah, you're being raised with the Indians. Yeah, you were.
Well, I was raised in Cowtown, Fort Worth, Texas. So.
See? Oh, you're a Texan. You have no options. If you're a Texan, you're a cowboy.
Yeah.
I was made an honorary Texan by Ann Richards.
Oh yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. I don't know who she is.
So I sort of claim it, but I'm a pretend. But here's a real cowboy, and he says he's not. Isn't that funny? You get the title, and you sort of slough it off. You don't get the title, and you got to work for it. Easy stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just be born in Texas. So, tell me a little more about the park. You know, I've driven by this place, I mean, this area. I mean, I've been here at this park a good half dozen, maybe a dozen times. And coming down here, you were right on the east end of Gallup. So, west end of Gallup. So, and it's almost the last exit coming.
Exit 16.
Exit 16, and you'll see some of the signs all along the way. They got really nice signs showing the place. I used to come here, and I used to go to the reserves in Albuquerque, and I came all the way from Phoenix. I had to come once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove by here forever and ever, several years. I was in the Air National Guard, the Navy here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a station there. And the station was the Air National Guard, and they had a little component there for our group, the Naval Air Group. And so I, as a veteran, I came by here a lot. And they give free RV parking.
Here?
Not
here,
for active duty personnel. I'm sorry, yeah, not for veterans, because there's too many veterans.
We would go bankrupt.
We'd go bankrupt.
70% of our customers are veterans.
Are veterans, yeah. I'm sorry, I blew it.
We do get veterans discounts and retired military discounts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. It's got to get it. They acknowledge us, veterans.
Yeah.
And acknowledging us, veterans, is a statement. I mean, you got to get that however you got in the military, you put your life on the line for the country, for the time you spent in it. And I acknowledge all veterans also, because it's cool. See, I didn't have a choice of being a veteran. I received my draft notice. And I would either be a Canadian or a veteran. Those were the two options.
I think you made the right option.
Well, I absolutely made the correct option. But at the time, Vietnam was just in a super critical area, and I looked and there wasn't really any option for me. I just I will be honorable. I don't agree with what they're doing, and I will be honorable.
And so I served 6.5 years. It was cool. And it was one of the most beautiful and spectacular learning experiences in my life. And, so,
you hear that nice from almost every veteran.
Yes. And it was also a pain in the butt.
Yes.
But, do you have anything more to say about your part?
Well, we basically based on our veterans. I think one of the reasons we have so many people, we do so well here, is people see that sign, that billboard that says active duty, stay free. And I've had people come here for that reason, travel an extra hour, extra 3 hours. I have one man that stays here once a year. He says that he only parks at Walmart's, but when he comes to Gallup, he stays here. Because he's a veteran. He says, it's the only time I ever stay at the RV park. He says, I camp everywhere, but RV parks. When I come to Gallup, I stay here. So, you know, you got to, you know, the people watching that are veterans, give us everything we have. I wouldn't have this business if we didn't have our veterans protecting what we have.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of people, they don't understand that.
And you got to get, this is the you're right in the Navajo Nation.
Yes.
And Navajos are great warriors, and they, a lot of them go into the military.
Well, they have in Gallup, with the military history, we have the Navajo Code Talker.
Right.
We have the Matan, 83 young men from Gallup got caught in Matan. For the Tan Death March. We have a Medal of Honor recipient that's still living, Hershey Miyamura.
Right.
He's born and raised here in Gallup. I don't know if he's born here, but he was raised here in Gallup since he was a kid. And of course we have the other veterans, but this is very, very historically Gallup, the military history of Gallup. And Gallup is, if you look at Rand McNally, they chose us as the most patriotic city in the United States, because not just this part, it's all through Gallup. Our Veterans Park, the businesses, they do the Run for the Wall, and that's, you know what the Run for the Wall is. Yeah, that's where they start and go across country. They all meet in Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day. They come through here and they say, this is every one of them will tell you, this is the nicest, this is the best they get treated all the way across country. You know, they love coming to Gallup. Because we throw a big party for them in town, and it's a good place to live. It's a good place to live. So I've enjoyed being here. I got itchy feet, but I enjoy living here. You know, I wasn't want to travel, but I like coming back here.
That's great. This is a home.
This is,
even if you travel, you always have that home. Mm-hmm. Gallup is yours.
Yes, it is.
John Moore, Old Man Stories.
You want me to say?
Yes, that's what you say.
Okay. John Moore, Old Man Stories.
Well, I got to say that no matter where you go, there's always a risk.
Agreed. John was saying this. I would think, you know, right on Highway 40 and 66 that there'd be a lot of travel by criminals that sort of stop in, grab something, and keep going. But he says it's a really, really more honest place, which surprised me. He said every once in a while the kids will go and write on the walls or something, but he says he cleans it up so fast that they don't have any bragging rights, so they they don't do it. I driving around in an RV now, there's some risk involved in that. Isn't that surprising for crime?
No, it's a giant target, and it basically says, hey, I have a lot of money.
Yes, they were in Florida, right off highway, I think it was 8, or I don't remember which highway it is, it's 15 or one of the highways.
just going north of Pensacola, and they would rob people at the stops, at the rest stops. And, you know, when we drove by there in the last couple of years, they have guards in these rest stops.
Hmm.
Because they would rob the truck drivers too. So it's really funny that all this would happen. I got to tell a little story, a little side story.
Sure.
Terry and I both have sidearms, and we have permits to carry concealed weapons. I have never used it, but I have one because I said I'm going to get one, and she wanted one. So we did these after we were 70, by the way. This isn't something we did when we were young. It's something we did when we were old. And so Terry put this sign on the window of our vehicle. And it was so funny because we were traveling over in Europe. And we're traveling on this Autobahn in Czechoslovakia. And we stopped at this rest stop, and there was these trucks that came in at the rest stop. Well, some of these trucks were decorated really cool. They had, like, dingleberries hanging all over the windows, you know, like the Mexican cars. And it was all decorated, had colors and everything. And in the window, they had the same sign as Terry had in our RV, and it said, "Protected by Smith & Wesson." So criminal elements do not stop at any border. Jeff?
That just reminds me of the security bear that we had for the first car that we had. And it's this silly little teddy bear that sits in the back seat of your car, but it had a motion detector. And the sticker they gave you to put in the window, it said, "Warning, this car is protected by an alarm that has a very loud noise. Hearing damage may occur." And the problem is that when the battery started having issues, it would go off randomly. So the only hearing damage that was occurring was to us.
Yeah, sometimes your protection schemes can backfire.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like car alarms. I was in Puerto Rico. Terry and I were visiting there, and I was there alone for several months selling my software. And I'd sit up in the room, and I found out the national theme song for Puerto Rico is Car Alarms. You would hear car alarms going through. They would go on all night long, and say they'd go in this part of the city and that part of the city. They had a continual car alarm going off in the cities.
Yeah, that's one problem with having a car alarm is that they're all motion detection done these days, so a good thunderstorm will set them all off, a car with the boombox will set them all off, and people just ignore them because they figure, oh, it's just somebody's car alarm, whatever. And it's very true that when we got broken into with our car, Dad installed a car alarm on both cars, and although it went off a number of times, we never caught anybody with it. We never got broken into again, that's sure, for sure, but it's a car alarm. It just means, oh, look, people will ignore it.
Yeah, they'll scan that way for a second. That's about it. They just look over, and if they don't see anything, they won't say anything. They'll just keep walking because car alarms will go off at the drop of a hat. And they actually use less of them now, or have them tuned down, so the car alarms, you know, because they're not that effective anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would be nice is if one of those people who have these iPod application things would actually have a thing that said, "By the way, your car is being broken into, and send it to your phone, so you know it's you and your car alarm, and you should go check it out."
I think they have those in the new cars.
And they've got OnStar for sure, but it's not something that you would normally think to have. Well, at least, I don't know. I don't have a smartphone. There may actually be an app for that already, but if not, you heard it here first.
I have to say, people make a lot of money with security systems.
Mm-hmm. And they say an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, but...
No, it's a pound of prevention for a pound of cure.
Right. That's what I thought I said, but regardless of which. Anyway, we are pretty much out of time for this episode of Old Man Stories. Going to this holiday season, be safe, be merry, but above all, live well, and remember to be happy.
And we can get off this depressing crime stuff next week. Yay!
See you next week, folks.
We may live under the rule of law, but it doesn't mean that everyone else does. Sooner or later, someone you know, possibly even you, will be the victim of a crime. How did it affect your life? What did you lose? Was justice served in what happened to you? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.